We continue our thoughts this morning with this idea of magnetism of the world. What are some things that, what is the root cause, if you would, of why people who were once Christians go back into the world? And so we all know what a magnet is. It's something that attracts. And as I spoke about last week, there's a powerful draw of the American culture around us. It's important to realize for all of us that we even can create our own culture. We can have our own circle of influence around us. You remember we defined the word culture as the arts, belief, customs, institutions, and other products of human work and thought considered as a unit, especially with regard to a particular time or social group. And so a social group that I'm attracted to. And so remember what we're talking about is we're talking about going back into the pollutions of the world, the things that we had once given up, going back like the dog to the eating of his own vomit or to the sow that goes, the pig goes wallowing back in the mire. And so we spent time talking about that. And thinking further about the magnetism of the world, we also want to remember that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And that when a Christian goes back into the world, they're lost. And so we talked about how important that is, that as we go back to the vomit, we need to recognize that we have become an enemy of God. We're in a state of being lost yet again. And that state is worse than the first, than when we had first begun our walk as a Christian. And so what we're talking about is very serious, and yet it is something that has been repeated time and time again, and congregations are struggling because so many who once were Christians have walked away, have turned away, and it is sad. And so I've been trying to figure out what is it that is part of the world that turns us back, having tasted of such wonderful blessings of salvation. And so in thinking about that, I talked about the culture, how we're drawn by the culture back into the world. It's this magnetizing effect that attracts us back into the world. But in thinking about this, and as I mentioned, I had asked a few others that question. I'm like, what is it that's causing people to turn back? Specifically, I was asking about the young people. Why is it that they are a Christian in their teens, and then they get into their early 20s, and all of a sudden they're just right back into the world and what they left? Why is it that we miss generations, and then sadly they don't raise their children, and their children aren't brought up in the nurture admonition of the Lord, and so we just end up digging a hole, if you would. Why is that? And so in thinking about that, one preacher said this. He said security, and I was like, okay. So in thinking more about of what he was talking about, I think this is an attraction, and understanding some of that thought. If we look at the definition of security, we're talking about the quality or state of being secure, such as free from danger, you have safety, and we've been spending our time talking about anxiety and fear. And so you're talking about a freedom from fear and anxiety. So where is it that I feel secure? And that is something to think about. One is drawn back into the world in a sense of belonging, a sense of security, fitting in with the crowd, a place where you feel secure. You're with people who are like you. And see, here's where the struggle comes is, you're a Christian. Why are you drawn to the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Why is it that you feel secure? But it has to do with this idea of our social setting, and thinking of security. I also think about, and we'll be talking a lot about in this vein, of acceptance. It's where I feel accepted. It's where I feel secure. It's very strange that sometimes, and I mentioned this from time to time, and I remember the first time it was really brought to my attention, and that is that some people's environment, their home environment, can be so disastrous that when things are normal, that's not secure and safe to them. That's abnormal to them. And without all the fussing and the fighting and the drinking and the carrying on. And so they don't feel safe and secure because their whole life they have grown up and that's normal to them. And so you stop and you think about, okay, how is it that someone goes back into the world and feeling this type of safety? In fact, their fear and anxieties slip away. And this is kind of what we want to develop this morning. Well, when I ended our lesson last week on culture, I mentioned 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. So let's turn there now and let's look. This is when Samuel feels rejected because they tell him, "We want a king." He feels like, you know, and he's disappointed, of course, because they're rejecting God and wanting a king. They don't realize who their king is. And I guess I shouldn't say that they're rejecting Samuel, but Samuel feels very upset and down. And so God speaks to him. But in this chapter, five and six, rather, of chapter eight, it says, "Look, you are old, and now your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Now, the key here is that they said to judge us like all the nations. This idea of, well, we want to feel secure like all the other nations feel secure, and that we want a king like all of them have. I mean, you're getting old and not able to judge us, so we want a king that will be able to do that. Now, again, the failure is to recognize that they had the true and living God that had brought them out of Egypt, that had brought them into the land, and they're rejecting God. And God says, well, okay, go ahead and let them have that. But there's a real draw to fit in. There's a real, you know, attraction to saying, well, here's where I fit in. And to be like those around us. Look at Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs." And so we can envy the evildoer around us. Now, the nations had kings, but they were worshiping false gods, pagan gods. And here's Israel saying, well, we want a king like the rest of them have. And so you start thinking about that in some way in their mindset. That'll give us some type of security. That'll give us some type of judgment. That'll give us some type of peace. And yet, we should not fret because of the evildoers. And don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. We shouldn't have that kind of desire, this idea of somehow, and as we develop this, that somehow there's security found back in the world. I think already you see, well, there's a problem with that. But why is it that people are drawn back into the world? Because it becomes a place of security, or a place where they find association. And that's kind of what we want to consider. Well, here's what we need to think about when we think about to belong. What the world is offering is acceptance and comfort in doing what is wrong. You're going to feel comfortable. You're going to feel okay because the world is committing sin, and therefore they're going to accept you for who you are. And a lot of times you think about somebody that slips back into the world, and it's that association, it's that security that's found in, well, these people aren't going to condemn me because, you know, they drink, I drink. You know, they're not going to make me feel bad. But sin is not condemned by the world. You recognize sin, the world, and the world meaning the evildoer, wickedness. The world's not going to condemn the world is sin. How can the world condemn sin? The liar's not going to condemn lying. The drunkard isn't going to condemn drunkenness. The adulterer isn't going to condemn the adultery. So the world is not going to condemn sin. It is the sin. You see, that's the way the word world is used often in the Scriptures. And so the world isn't going to condemn itself, but must accept people as they are. So they're going to be all inclusive. We're going to accept everybody as they are because we're not going to condemn ourselves. And so you can see the draw is that I can go do these things and nobody's going to condemn me. In fact, it's going to be an accepted thing. And then finally, modern religion. Think about, just put this in the context of how religion is today. Come as you are, no judgment, no sin, only acceptance. And so people turn to that kind of modern religion because they can walk through the door and continue in sin, and there's not going to be no condemnation there. We're not going to condemn sin. We're not going to, you know, just come as you are. You're not going to be judged. And so a person can feel safe and secure in an environment like that. Do you understand that? You can feel very safe and secure where there is no condemnation, no judgment that is passed. So where do you feel safe? Where do you feel safe? Free from fear and anxiety. Is it in the arms of God? Or is it in the arms of the world and the social group that you hang out with? So see, now what we're saying is, and what where we're kind of going with our thinking is, all right, so the culture attracts with all of these flashy things. But then what is the attraction of the world? That if you come back into the world, you'll be accepted for you, who you are, no condemnation, no judgment. You can do what you want to do. Where, what is it that the Word of God does? Well, the Word of God restricts. And so that'll be our next point, Lord willing, next week. But where do you find safety? Where are you safe? And can you see how important it is to answer a question like that? Are you safe in the arms of Jesus? Or are you safe in the world? Is that where you find your free from anxiety? And that's a real question, because if you feel safe and secure back in the things that the world does, then see, you're moving and drifting away from God. And so think about how validation is a strong force in a person's life. Validation. We want to be validated. We want it to be validated for our thoughts, for who we are. That's a real draw. And basically what we're talking about is acceptance. I want to be accepted. You know, I want people maybe, you know, to like me is kind of the thought that is there. So think about how important it is for a person to have approval, validation, with regards to eternity. Validation, acceptance, or appreciation with regards to eternity. How important is a question like that? Do I seek God's approval, God's acceptance, or do I accept the approval of man or their acceptance? See, that's a big difference. And see, what happens is people begin to migrate away from God. They were a Christian. What draws them away? Well, I can have acceptance over here. And I like that more than I like the pleasing and acceptance of God. And the world has a real draw by the sinful actions that it's involved in. But look at what Paul says over in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul asked the church at Corinth, of Galatia. He asked this question in chapter 1 and in verse 6. Beginning, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from God preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So basically the question is, Paul says, do I seek to please men? See, where am I trying to please man, or am I trying to please God? And so a powerful draw of the world is acceptance as who you are or who you even want to be. And you might think, well, I want to be like the world. I want to go back to that because I'll spend more time, Lord willing, next week on the fact that it's again, that whole idea of it's shiny, it's attractive, and it looks like they're having so much fun. See, approval offers that security that we're talking about. When a person is secure of fear and anxiety and freedom from danger, look what happens the requirements are met. And so there is a reason that groups identify themselves as communities. Communities. We've got the homosexual community. We've got the BLM community. We have the Native American community. And basically what we're saying is, well, we have a community because we have a common lifestyle. We have a common interest. We have a common ancestry. Therefore, we have this common bond. And in our community, see, we have security and we have acceptance. And so when you're accepted into a community, you believe that you're safe. And what you believe is what everybody else believes. And what you practice is what everybody else is practicing. And see, that's a real draw. Because if you're tempted with sin and you want to be drawn to the pollutions of the world, and you begin to seek that security where you're not going to have condemnation of the sinful acts, well, then you're going to find that approval and acceptance. You're going to start to feel safe. And that's a real draw, because the world will welcome you back in very easily and want you to turn away from God. But here's what we must remember is a number of things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, there's some problems, I think, that when we're so attracted to sinful things. And that would be something to address as well. But notice what Paul says to the church at Corinth in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 9. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So in this passage, what you find is, "And such were some of you." That's what you left. And so when you leave that, you have to leave that behind. You have to leave those pieces and parts of your past and the sinful things behind. If there's still an attraction or allurement to that, then you're going to need to deal with the realities that you're still struggling with the temptations, and you need to seek the ways of escape and things of that nature. But you can see how Paul says you have to remember that's who you were. It's not who you are. So you can't find security back in what you left. That's not who you are anymore. And then I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 17. And here Paul says, "Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Remember, there's the same idea. This is what you came out of. Don't go back into what you came out of. And so what happens is, and maybe this is part of the whole problem, is if you look at Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1 and 2. He says in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It goes back to, where do you feel safe, pleasing God or pleasing man? But notice what has to happen. And maybe this is where the problem begins, in this idea of where we feel safe and secure is found there in verse 2. There has to be a transformation, and it has to take place in the mind, a renewing of the way we think. And maybe that's what happens, is we're not really spending the time necessary to change the way we think about sin, about the world. And so what happens is, now I've become a Christian, and in a few years I start looking back and I really haven't changed my way of thinking, and I'm drawn back into the place where I once again will feel accepted and welcomed into a community of sinners, if we just want to put it that way. But you remember what happens when you go back into the world. See, this, I'm going to keep bringing this up because I want this to be in our mind. Because if we go back into the world, this is what happens. We're an enemy of God. You're actually back in bondage. You're in a worse position that you're in then than you were before. Things are much worse. And we can't forget that, because those are the things that help us and keep us from drifting or slipping away. Now, here's another part of our definition of security. And think with me for a moment about this. Something given, deposited, or pledged to. And so we call it a security deposit, is maybe the way you think about it. So think about this aspect of how we feel secure. Something that is deposited, or to make certain the fulfillment of an obligation. I should put the rest of that up there. Turning back into the world is rarely something that just you wake up and you go, I'm going back. I don't know that it really happens that way. What happens is it's a slow process. It's the passage that Chad read. It's a drifting away. So think about what we're saying. You give something in a deposit. Where is your security deposit? Think with me again. Where is your security? Security is very important to us. Feeling safe, free from anxiety. And I think about, okay, do I put my trust in God and am I safe and secure in the arms of Jesus, or am I feel safe and secure in the world? And so think about, well, where do I put my security deposits? Because if I'm thinking about worldly things, guess where I'm putting my security? If I'm putting my security deposits in heaven, like Jesus speaks about over in Matthew chapter 6, and you've probably already thought of this passage now, but look at Matthew chapter 6, and look at what Jesus says beginning in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word treasure, as I was looking, is the idea of making a deposit. See, where do you make your security deposits? Is it on earth or is it in heaven? Well, if my affections are back at the world, and although I left the pollution of the world, but yet my affections are still drawn that way, and I make deposits, and I keep one foot over there in a sense, which in reality I don't keep one foot in, do I? But that's where I'm actually placing my time and my emphasis. Well, then that begs the question, where's your treasure? Because wherever you place your time and your energies, that's where your heart is, Jesus says. So to what needs to happen is we have to constantly be on guard as to, well, where am I really placing my security? Because over time, let's say again, you get out on your own and now you're in your early 20s and you got to make these decisions, and where are you placing your security deposits? Are you putting your confidence now in your bank account and the things that you're able to do, the places you're able to travel and things of that nature? Is this where you begin to spend your time and all of your emphasis? Or are you still depositing things by doing righteous things and good things? Because if that begins to waver, guess what? The world begins to look more and more attractive, because that's where you're spending your time. That's where your associations are. That's where your acceptance is. And so you find your security deposit and you'll find your heart. And another way is, where are you seeking your approval? Which is the question I asked before. Who are you trying to please? Is it God? Or is it you're trying to find the approval of the world? And then to add to that, a way to look at that is, well, where's your affections? Where are your affections? That's why the Bible talks about let your affections be up above. Because where we spend our time and our energy and our resources is really where we're placing our security, is on things in the earth, in our 401k and so forth. And yet God has the best retirement plan of all. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught the deceitfulness of riches. This is actually the parable of the sower in Mark's account. Notice what he said in verse 18 and 19 in Mark's account. He said here, he says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. And he says, let me tell you about the seed that fell among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world. Now, they're a Christian, you see. But what happens? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. They become unfruitful as a Christian. They're not really growing. And it's the deceitfulness of riches. But notice what he said in Mark's account. He says, the desire of other things. See, that's those shiny objects back in the world that's luring us back. Those things that says, oh, you know, look at how much fun they're having. But a big part of all of this is, where do you fit in? Right? Where do you feel secure? Where is your heart? Where is your affections? Where do you fit in? And so where does that take you in your thoughts? Well, where do you feel comfortable? Who are your friends? Who are your companions? Who are the people that you keep your company with? That's a huge part. In fact, that was an answer one of the other men that I asked. He says, friendships. And that's exactly right. You got to know who your friends are. You got to know who your children's friends are. That's so, so important. Because friendships of the world, see, draws away. Draws away. Companions. You see, the world lures a Christian back into it with the company that he or she is keeping. Who are you spending your time with? See, that becomes your social group. That becomes where you feel comfortable, is hanging out with this group. You understand that? And the world lures a Christian back into it by the company that a person is keeping, and where you spend your time. And so what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15:33? He says, be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. He didn't say maybe. He stated this as, this is how it works. And don't fool yourself into believing that it doesn't. Because let me tell you, as I started last week, when you have opportunity to go to other places, and it's usually, you know, well, how did you end up in a meeting in Minneapolis? Well, not only is my wife there, but years ago, when I was preaching in Wisconsin, I got to meet a number of those brethren, and they still remember who we are. And so through contacts and so forth, I got asked to be put on a list to come and hold a meeting. And so what happens? Well, you go back and you start saying, well, what about this young person? What about that young person? What about your kids? And here's what you hear. He or she started hanging out with the wrong crowd. When you hang out with the wrong crowd, which is the world, the sinner, and that's where you begin to feel like you're accepted and apart, guess what? That's going to pull you back. That's the magnet. That's the magnet that draws people back in, Christians back into the world. And let me say this. I cringe when I hear a parent say, he's a good kid, she's a good kid. And I'll tell you why. The right way to judge the word good is whether or not he or she is a faithful Christian. A Christian who has obeyed the Word of God has an honest and good heart. That's who the Christian is. Now, that doesn't mean a person can't change, but please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He or she may be polite, and that's what you mean by good. They stay out of trouble, but we cannot forget that anyone who is not a Christian is of the world. There isn't anything in between. Cornelius was a good man, but Cornelius was lost and needed to be saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, again, I cringe when I hear this idea, well, he's a good kid. Because what I have seen happened is, well, what happened? Well, they married that good kid. And now they're not faithful anymore. And now my grandchildren aren't faithful. But he was a good kid. She was a good girl. That's not how we judge that. And so we have to be careful. And that doesn't, and I'm not saying, well, I can't have anybody that's not a Christian. What I'm saying is that if we're not wise to this, and as a parent, wise to that statement, then perhaps we're headed for trouble. A lot of members of the church have been drawn back into the world by good worldly friends and even spouses. Spouses. Well, he was a good guy. He married a good guy. She married a great guy. But they weren't a Christian. And fast forward 10 years when the world and all of its lures and attractions and all the things that can keep you busy and turn you away from God, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And guess what? You're a friend of the world. You've gone back into the pollution. And you didn't even necessarily know it happened. But you know what? Now you feel safe and secure there because you're accepted. And here's what happens. Because brethren would say, that's wrong. Well, you're not. Now what happens? Think about it. It's not right because they truly love you, but think about what happens. They don't approve. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I'm going to be around the ones that make me feel safe and secure. And that's going to be the sinner who says, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. You're just like us. But you left the Lord. And God's people say, that's not right. And you say, well, I don't want to be around them. But James chapter 4 and verse 4, again, tells us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Please understand that the world represents sin, and the world is filled with people who are sinners. And it's you're either a saint or you're a sinner. There's not the in-between like we would like to make it happen. And I'm not saying that there's not an opportunity to convert people like that. But what I'm saying is that companionship, that close association, we have to be so careful about. Because in a very short period of time, somebody can grow very comfortable with the company that they're keeping. And the whole time, the parent thinks, hey, they're in good company, you know, they're not getting into trouble. And the next thing you know, the phone rings. And guess what? They were getting into a lot of trouble. And your life is turned upside down. It isn't a coincidence that before a Christian turns back into the world, they start pulling away from other Christians. What's happening? Their security is shifting, you see. Where they feel comfortable is shifting. They're shifting from their spiritual family back to the comfort and approval and acceptance and security of the world. Sometimes that's an indicator. It's one of the first indicators. That's why we talk about assembly. Well, what's happening in the assembly? Well, where are they migrating? Are they migrating away from God and His people? Well, we migrate to those who approve and we avoid those who do not. It just seems like that's what we're going to do, right? Why would I want to go and be around you? You don't approve. So I'm going to go around the people that do approve. So the magnetism of the world is saying, come, find security here. But you know what? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 says, the world is passing away in the lust of it. You go back into the world, it's passing away. But the world says, come, find acceptance here. Find comfort. You know, you're going to be free from all worry and all anxiety. Here's what God is saying. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. That's what God's calling. He's saying, no, safety is found with me. Look at this one. Jesus said, come unto me. I will give you rest. You see, there's been a shift in our thinking. And it can happen through this means of where we find ourselves as far as where we feel safe, where I feel secure, and where I'm laying up my security deposits. Let me ask a question. Are you slipping away? Cry out to the Savior for help. His arm can save. Do you need to leave the world of sin? You are in the world. You're in sin. Then why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Steve has selected this invitation song. We're going to stand. We're going to sing it. We're going to sing it right now. And we invite you to come as together we do stand and sing.